We're playing The Tide Is High for a reason here. It's thematic. We are about to speak with Andrew Groenewald. He is a professor at the University of Michigan's School of Environment and Sustainability. And there's a reason that we're talking to him, because it turns out that Lake Michigan just broke a record. And, Doctor, tell us exactly what the record was for, unfortunately.
So the record that was just broken was the water level record, the high water level record for the month of January. There are water level records on the Great Lakes going back over 100 years, and for each month of the year, there's a record high and a record low. And as you stated, Lake Michigan, along with Lake Huron, is one sort of big, large lake. They just broke that level for the month of January.
Oh, man. So we knew this because the summer was ridiculously high here, which was causing all kinds of problems, you know, beach erosion and some of the other places where you're not really going to have even beach erosion, but half the beach is gone. From, you know, it may come back at some point, it was not usable. And then what's even worse is a lot of the breakwaters and some of the other would not normally be submerged. You'd be able to see them were totally underwater and boats were running into them.
Right.
It's crazy. Now, what does this mean for generally the lake levels go down in the winter? Is that right?
That's absolutely right. And so where we are right now is typically pretty close to the low point in that seasonal cycle. Water levels, you know, they go down in October, November, December, and then as snow across the entire Great Lakes region, right, there's water coming into Lake Michigan from Canada, from around Lake Superior. It all flows down eventually into Lake Michigan and Huron and then out. But when the snow around the region melts, water levels start rising, and that usually starts happening in February, March, and April. So that's correct. We are at the sort of typical low point in the seasonal cycle right now.
What does this mean for the summer?
It means that water levels are going to be very high. There's a couple different ways we can look at this. One is somewhat scientific, but it's basically saying water levels are very high right now. When you look at the water levels across the region and you look at how much moisture there is in the soil, and believe it or not, there are maps and there are satellite products that can tell us that the Great Lakes Basin right now is saturated. There is a lot of soil moisture across the region. And so what that means in general is that any time it rains or any amount of water that melts out of snow, it's not going to be able to go down into the soil. It's going to turn into runoff and increase water levels. So that's one perspective. The other perspective is that some of the federal agencies in the region, including the Army Corps of Engineers and also our friends in Canada, in Environment and Climate Change Canada, they develop computer models that predict water levels into the future. And when you look at those over the next 6 months, they all indicate that there's a very good chance that water levels on Lake Michigan and Lake Huron are going to continue to be broken. The records are going to continue to be broken for the next 5 to 6 months.
So I know that over years and years and years, and I remember this from being a kid, the water levels were really high for a while, then they went really low in the 1980s for a while here. And there is a cycle to this, but is this beyond a cycle? Is there something else that's going on? Will we ever return to lower lake levels?
I think there is something else going on here. You know, it's interesting. A lot of folks look at water levels and say, hey, sometimes they go up, they go down. There seems to be a cycle to them. The interesting thing about that is that water levels are really a consequence of precipitation, bringing water into the lakes, and evaporation, taking water out of the lakes. And when you look at precipitation across the Great Lakes region over the past 30 to 40 years, it has been consistently going up across the entire region. There's not some sort of every 10-year or 20-year pattern. It has been going up. A lot of your audience might know this, but the last decade was the wettest decade on record. And a large part of that is because of the abundant precipitation that we received across the Upper Midwest and the Great Lakes region. So there hasn't been much of a cycle in the drivers behind water levels. And so part of what I think is unique right now is that all of these records across the lakes are being broken at the same time. An important context, I was looking at this, and to your point about how water levels were high in the mid-1980s, they were low in the mid-1960s. Lake Ontario, down at the bottom of the whole system, is actually controlled. Lake Ontario water levels are controlled and designed to make sure that water levels don't exceed highs and don't go below lows. Lake Ontario broke its all-time record high, both in 2017 and in 2019, and we did not see that happen in the mid-1980s when the other lakes were high. And that suggests to me that we have a combination of soil moisture and precipitation going on right now that we haven't seen in decades, if ever.
All right, Andrew Groenewald is who we're talking to. He's a professor at the University of Michigan School for Environment and Sustainability, associate professor, I should say, because they get the full professors get very mad about that, and a PhD. Now, let's talk about what this actually means for us. What's the downside other than the incursion of the water, and, you know, obviously there's public works projects and things like that that have to go into play here to, you know, create, you know, some kind of a barrier. And you, obviously we're losing beaches. There's three beaches in Chicago that are never coming back now. As a matter of fact, they put rocks in where the beaches would be because they just realized that even when the lake levels do go back, if they cycle back down, it's still not going to be enough and to previous levels. So the question is there something that is more dangerous for us other than the incursion of the water?
Well, let's see. So if you're asking about the impacts of high water and the incursion, I would say there are a range of different impacts, including what you just mentioned. And I recognize that the audience here is primarily in Chicago. The effects that you're seeing are happening all across the Great Lakes region. So in addition to some of the things you're mentioning about shoreline erosion, they can be affecting beaches, but there are also places where houses are literally falling in the water right now and being forced to either be abandoned or, if they have the resources, to move them away from the shoreline. But then there are also some related, but I think a little bit more problematic consequences having to do with infrastructure. There are some municipalities talking about how they're not able to run their wastewater treatment systems properly because they rely on gravity outflows, and when the water levels in the lakes are too high, they can't operate them adequately. That's very troubling to me when the foundational municipal infrastructure that we rely on for our quality of life is being threatened.
Do the lake levels affect the river levels? It sounds like a dumb question, but I mean, in Chicago, we've got the reverse situation, right? I mean, the water flows into the river system, not out of the river system into the lake, because of how we reversed it, at least in the Chicago River. But does this affect that across the board here? Because that's flooding in other communities, or certainly farmland that could be impacted by it.
Great question. So there's a couple different types of rivers we're talking about here. Let's start first with rivers that flow into the lakes. And that's the vast majority of a lot of the rivers and streams they flow in. And the answer is yes, that they are impacted depending on how close you are to the lake shore. As the lake begins to rise, it essentially, the term we use is backwater, but it really means it's sort of backing up the river, that as the river gets closer and closer to the lake, its flow will slow down and spread out into more of the floodplain than when water levels are low. So the answer is yes, but it depends on how far down the river you are, or in other words, how far away from the lake you are, how much of the river gets affected. So there's definitely an impact there. And then certainly the rivers that connect the lakes, the St. Mary's River, the Detroit River, the St. Clair River, the flow through those rivers depends quite literally on the water level of the lake above that river and the water level below. And so those big, big rivers are also being affected right now.
Yeah, it's a wacky situation. I mean, things are changing at a pace that we did not anticipate. No, we use the term glacial pace to indicate what the way that things should be moving in terms of, you know, the big environment and all those things. But things are moving faster than I think we had ever anticipated here in a lot of ways. And this lake level situation throughout the Great Lakes, but in Chicago, it is quite alarming to people who have to deal with, you know, the infrastructure of this, the city, and then, you know, people who just want to use the lake, right? I mean, it's just it's a totally, totally different world. Last summer was a totally different world than we have ever seen here on this side of the lake, at least. Doctor, thank you very much. I really appreciate you spending some time with us. Andrew Groenewald from University of Michigan.
My pleasure.
All right, let's do this. I'm gonna check in with the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Kim Gordon is working her fingers to the bone right now to bring you the news at the top of the hour. And then on the other side, Peter Greenberg is going to be here in the 4 o'clock hour. Peter Greenberg, the travel guy, he used to be on this radio program at its other location. many times. Great guest. And I want to ask him about this coronavirus story today, because the cruise lines are making determinations in terms of what they're going to do. And there's a Japanese cruise line that's got 61 cases on the corona of coronavirus right now on board. What do you do about that? Oh, my God. I thought that just the food poisoning was going to be bad. Back with the news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom at 2.